This is back to normal now, the FPL family live stream. Hope you've had a good weekend. Hope you've enjoyed the football being back. I, for one, have thoroughly enjoyed the football being back. I know what you're saying, guys. Hasn't been the greatest.
I've loved it.
Hello, that's me, iPad. That's Sky Sports News alert to tell me that Liverpool just drawn. So listen, it hasn't been, I don't think, quite the feast of football we thought it was going to be, I don't think, in terms of action. But listen, I think there's been some good games. I've enjoyed it being back. How are you feeling about the crowd noises, though, being pumped through our speakers?
There's been some brilliant ones and some
Whoever is on the buttons behind the scenes have got slowly better with it.
They have.
The games have gone on.
I actually thought that the sound effects on the BBC last night were really good.
Right.
But the ones on Sky, what game was it on Wednesday night? One of the ones on Wednesday night, it was like, who have you put on the decks here? Because they're getting it totally wrong.
Set pieces is great, though, because there's a guy hovering over the button. The Milivojevic free kick.
Yeah. Ooh.
But the Milly free kick, he was obviously waiting for it, and then it hits the net, he's like, boom.
Yes.
It's just amazing.
But sometimes they press the wrong one, so it's a massive cheer as if a goal has been scored, and you look and you're like, nothing happened.
Absolutely ridiculous. So listen, guys, I've enjoyed football being back. We will, of course, on this FPL Family live stream, be talking about everything that's happened in game week 30 plus up to now. We obviously have one more game to go.
We have
Man City versus Burnley. So any of you that have got any Man City options or players in your FPL team, just be aware that, of course, you've got the game tomorrow to go. And then, of course, we can take like a breath for like half a day or like not even a day.
No, not really even that, because you've got the deadline on Tuesday.
The deadline is Tuesday evening before whatever game it is on Tuesday. I don't even know.
Spurs!
Is it Spurs?
Well, with a later game on Tuesday.
I haven't even looked much at the fixtures. All I've done is looked at my team and gone, that doesn't look too bad. But we've got most of Tuesday then to have a look at what your team's going to look like for game week 31. And if you've got the wild card in hand and you're planning to wild card out of some of the stuff that you bought in on the unlimited transfers in the way that you are, then we have got, obviously, Sam's first wild card draft coming up for you towards the end of the show. So
my second wild card
draft. It's your second wild card draft. Second of many, I suspect.
The first was on the FPL show. If you saw me on that on Friday.
Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah.
Did a wild card draft there. This is my post-Saturday thoughts. There will be another one later, probably tomorrow, which is my post-Sunday thoughts. Because actually, there's been thoughts that have changed since then. So just to update on where we are for Tuesday then, Leicester versus Brighton is the early game at 6 o'clock. So it's a 5 o'clock deadline for changes and transfers and all that
good stuff. 5
o'clock? Yeah, before the mighty Spurs later.
Okay, very good. I'm just going to log in to FPL so that I can see the scores from earlier. Wait a minute, let's go to my team and we will do that in just a sec and we'll go through the scores. Yeah, I'm just looking at the fixtures. Oh, yeah, so this was, we had a conversation on a Fantasy Football Scout video, didn't we, about if you're playing your free hit, it's all out Wolves, Man United and Spurs, isn't it, with a few around the edges. So we will talk about the fixtures in a little bit of detail later on, guys, but we, of course, have to look at some of the action that went on in game week 30 and some of the players that you might want to look for then going into game week 31. Before we do that, though, we've got to do our usual saying hello. So let's say hello to a few people. We're going to keep it brief, though, because we've said hello to a lot of people already in the watch-along. Hopefully the transition wasn't too loud for you there, guys. John Tyner is in. Hey, John, how are we doing? Junaid's channel is in. How are you doing, Junaid? FP on M3, who we've said before. She's on 107 at the moment.
Nice, Nim.
107, Nim. Nice. Josh is here, as we said before. How are we doing, Josh? Liam Pereira is here. MZ Ludo is a name we haven't heard, actually, for a while, MZ. So welcome back to the FPL Family live stream. FPL Flynn is in. He's saying extremely frustrated. That, I think, is the overriding feeling of the day. One of frustration.
I think you'll find that is the feeling across the majority of the FPL community.
Probably right.
I wouldn't necessarily take it to heart because I think the majority of us are in that boat with you.
Okay. All right, Liam Healy is here. How are we doing, Liam? Very nice to see you back. FPL Companion is here. How are we doing? Najib M is here. He or she says, good morning from Malaysia, Sam, where the local time is 3:50 a.m.
I love it.
By the way,
I love this. I literally love it when they get up in the middle of the night to watch us. I love that.
Middle of the night crew.
Love it.
Are represented. Alex Wicks is here. Froda is here. Sunit is here. Bilal, and of course Stealth Panda, who we mentioned before. Guys, welcome to
Stealthy
FPL Family. Plenty to talk about, as we know. Before we get stuck into the games, before we start talking about game week 30 plus, just a quick shout out to. All right, let's do the Super League first. So, as you guys know, we mentioned it on the last live stream, we have a brand new Super League that's available between now and game week 9, 39 plus, or whatever you're going to call it, 38 plus. So for the last 9 game weeks of the season, we'll be doing and running a mini league specifically for our $5 tier patrons. So if you're in the $5 tier, you can get into that league right now if you're not already. It's not too late to get in. We're going to open it and keep it open for about 2 or 3 weeks, and then I'm going to close it. So about 2 or 3 weeks from now, probably game week 33 plus. When the deadline closes for 33 plus, then I will close it. But if you want to take part in the Project Restart Patreon League, then head over to patreon.com/FPL family. Links in the description below, and you can take part in that. And of course, you get all the extra stuff that you would normally get being a patron of FPL family, like the Ohana podcast every Friday, like access to Slack, etc, etc. So if you want to get into there, we'd love it to come and join us over on Patreon, as have quite a few people actually over the last week since we announced it. Loads and loads of new people in. So we've had Emma, who's on the live stream. Emma, thank you for joining us. We've had Charlie Costa, Michael Teague's joined us, Tom's come in, Jason Walker's come in, B has come in, who's a friend of Emma's, I think. So
yep,
The Spurs fan and the Liverpool fan. Very interesting, actually. Emma is Liverpool and B is Spurs. So there's a nice FPL family dynamic
team
going
on
over there.
Going on there.
A lot of Team Sam Team League hashtags going on, which I'm absolutely here for. What would Sam do? I actually quite like that. So who is it? Was that B or Emma that came up with that in the Slack?
I'm not sure which one of them it was.
So one of them came up with this hashtag WWSD, what would Sam do? That's just, I love that. Got to get that going, haven't we? Got to get that going. Max has joined us as well, as has Adam and Theodore, and a whole host of people have joined us in the Patreon in the last week or so. Looking forward to the next 9 weeks and what's going to happen with the Super League. So guys, thank you very much for joining us.
Must just say, what we're talking about the patrons. The Slack has been brilliant recently.
Slack has been good, hasn't it? Slack has been good, especially now the game's back on. Lots of banter going on. It's been really, really good fun actually being in there.
Yeah.
Really, really good fun. Let's get on to the games though, Sam. We have to quickly get into game week 30 plus, which is the game week, of course, we've just seen. Now, as I said before, Man City, Burnley still to come. Cast your mind back, Sam. Where do we start? I mean, I don't want to go through all of these fixtures individually, but we do have to have a bit of a word about Arsenal. And I'm sure you're going to enjoy this bit of the segment. This bit of the live stream about Arsenal.
No, I'll keep doing.
Because, listen, a lot of us have bought in Aubameyang. I actually had him in, obviously, before the break, as you know, in part of my wild card. I was thinking, well, I'll set my team up. Looked in decent form. Saka was playing well. Actually, Saka has continued to play well, actually, across these two games. But Aubameyang is now starting to look like a bit of dead weight. An expensive one at that, in my team. So, Man City 3, Arsenal 0, clearly not a result that Arsenal were looking for. Lots of injuries. The class of Man City kind of shone through there. But then, of course, you expect Arsenal to get something away at Brighton. Brighton, who haven't won at home so far this calendar year.
Yeah.
Not that that's saying much. But smash and grab from Neil Morpie right at the end there. How are you feeling about Arsenal? And are you going to have any Arsenal players on your wildcard?
So, when you see my wildcard draft later, you'll see that there is one in there currently, but I don't think he will be come Tuesday.
Right, okay.
So I never had Aubameyang. I don't trust him. Just don't trust him. And so I didn't want him in my team. And I honestly went back and forward and back and forward over that, because I was in a bit like I did with Grealish, and we can talk about him in a minute. But the fear of him was massive, and I was just like, I'm gonna have to destroy my team for a player I don't want, like. No, I do like him as a player, but I don't like him as a player in that team. It just doesn't work for me. So I was like, no, I'm not doing it. And I watched on Wednesday night and thought, dodged a bullet here.
Yeah.
With thoughts to today, no, yesterday when they played again, thinking maybe I've done the wrong thing, but actually I just didn't think he looked very effective. I mean, was more central, obviously, yesterday than he was on Wednesday. Was out wide with Nketiah up top on Wednesday. But, yeah, for me, Aubameyang's a non-FPL asset.
And the one reason people might hold on to him, though, is if you look at his fixtures going forward, Southampton away, Norwich at home next, and in particular, that game week 32, that's the game week that Liverpool play Man City. So it's quite hard to pick a captain.
But you're talking about...
Would you be going for Aubameyang
captain? No, I wouldn't.
I'm not sure I would either, to be honest with you.
Okay, so one is so expensive. So holding him means that you're not going to have some of the other players who've shown a little bit more form coming back into this. But more importantly, look at that Arsenal squad now. It has been completely decimated by the loss of their keeper, by the loss of other key players. What is happening in terms of David Luiz and the sending off and the atmosphere around that club? For me, it just doesn't feel like a club that I want to invest 11 million in a player. Like, it's a lot of money, and I'm not seeing the value in that. Now I can see the value in Saka, because I thought he had...
He actually looked pretty good, didn't he?
And I thought he had two good games. And I thought Nketiah had a good game against Man City on Wednesday evening.
He had a good half an hour, in the half an hour that Arsenal actually did all right at the beginning of the game. I wouldn't say Nketiah had a good game.
I think he did have a good game. Given what was going on with the rest of the Arsenal team, I think he and Saka were the standouts in that game. When you're talking about differentials and cheap picks, then you know, great. But I just don't see that there's enough going for the team as a whole at the moment.
Aubameyang, no for you on the wildcard, but what about Saka then? Going to have him as a cheap midfield enabler?
Probably not.
It was interesting that Arteta actually played him in that kind of, and I think from what I've heard on the Arsenal Twitter community, is actually they've been experimenting over lockdown with him in that kind of slightly more central number 10 position.
Yeah.
And I think generally speaking, it did work for him.
It did work for him.
But it's the general malaise of the team that's my problem. And actually going away to Southampton.
Who
played well, despite this kind of, you know, my comments before about how are they motivated? What are they going to get themselves? How are they going to get themselves up for this game?
Yeah.
Danny Ings basically just picking up from where he left off.
Picking up from where he left off months back. 100%. He was in a bad form, wasn't he?
That's true. Yeah, that's true.
He had a bad period and he's come back like...
Mm.
Danny,
but I would fancy Ings against the Arsenal back line now, wouldn't you?
No Leno. But there's just...
David Luiz might play. That's a red card, so he can't, right? But
well, I don't know, but he'll be back.
No, I don't think so.
Just missed the Brighton
game. I don't think so. For me, I'm not looking to invest in Arsenal right now. I am invested. I have Saka.
You keeping them?
And I have Aubameyang.
That's a lot of Arsenal.
But listen, those guys have come back into my team, so I've got to decide what I want to do with them. And at the minute, I do want to sell Aubameyang. There's no doubt about it. I want to sell him. However, if I look to sell him, the one I would like to have is Jimenez.
Yeah.
But right now, I have Jota, Doherty and Patricio.
Hit coming for you then.
So there could be a hit incoming for me in this game week. There could be. Otherwise, I've got to look to do Aubameyang to somebody else. But I don't know if there was any other strikers that really caught my eye this game. But we'll come to them in a bit later on. So Arsenal, a little bit of a soft avoid right now. Man City, on the other hand, obviously we wait to see how they get on against Burnley, but look pretty good against Arsenal, right? Look pretty good. Kevin De Bruyne, doing Kevin De Bruyne things.
Okay.
Was the sensible captain choice, I think, this game week. So however, with Aguero being benched and coming off for 10 minutes, literally could have had two goals easily in that 10 minutes. He won it at the side netting that I'm sure was in. And then one where he hit the post for Foden to follow up with. So he got the assist for that. I would think that he is going to start against Burnley. And if I had him as captain in game week 30 plus, with that game to go, knowing that he just came on for that 10 minutes, I'd be relatively happy. I'd be comfortable with that, I think.
Yeah, me too.
I'd be okay with that. Because he's going to get the start, surely, against Burnley.
I had the armband, as most of you know, on Aubameyang until Wednesday. And I moved it Wednesday lunchtime on the basis that
You had the captaincy on Aguero, not Aubameyang.
Sorry, on Aguero.
On Aguero, yeah.
Did I say Aubameyang?
You said Aubameyang.
I've never had
Aubameyang.
It's
all that Aubameyang chat.
I know. Oh, Aguero. Had it on Aguero until lunchtime on that Wednesday. And I moved it on the basis that I had the fear that Pep was going to give Aguero 60 minutes.
Yeah.
And then I thought, if he gives him 60 minutes, what happens in the Burnley game? And I just didn't want 60 minutes and then 30 minutes. I just felt very much like I wasn't going to get my full wealth out of him, whereas I was pretty sure that Kevin De Bruyne was going to start both the games and probably do well. So that's why I went there. But, I mean, I have, with the exception of KDB, taken all the other two City players out of my team.
Right, okay. Okay. Yeah.
How many have you got coming back in?
Well, I've got just KDB. Yeah, just KDB. And I think if I was going to look for an Aubameyang replacement and go to Aguero, that's something I could look at. But right now...
Managed minutes, though, I think.
Well, yeah, so there's that. And the fact that, there's an FA... I think they're still in the FA Cup, right? And I think the next game is against Chelsea, and Chelsea didn't look too bad either today. Right. So, not thinking that I really want to invest in them right now. I'm kind of happy with just having KDB. And if I was going to have... If I had the three, like I have to had on the free hit, like I've had Sterling, KDB and Aguero this game week, if my team was coming back to me with those three in it, and I had a choice of those three as captaincy each week, I would still go KDB.
Yeah.
KDB for me just looks like the one to have as captain.
Just, where
just
left,
if you're going to have a Man City captain, it's KDB. So why do you need the others?
That's how it feels to me.
Let's talk about two other clubs that look highly investable right now. Spurs won, Manchester United won. In particular, Manchester United galvanised by the return of Pogba, I thought. I must admit, Spurs, I thought, played really well that game.
Thanks.
However, when Pogba came on, I remember sitting there telling you need to just weather that storm for 10 or 15 minutes. That Pogba sort of like spurt of enthusiasm with him coming on. It's just like, but he lifted the team,
didn't
he? I just
remembered my reaction to Pogba coming on. Yeah. I was like this, and I couldn't sit still on the sofa, and then I was up, and I was swearing at them. Oh, it was awful. But yeah, you're right. I mean, Pogba, I thought, was...
He come on and changed the game completely. And you could see the other players, like, right, we've got arguably our best player now on the pitch. He pinged one over to Martial or Rashford, like a half-volley pass. It was amazing. And then he basically turned Dier inside out for the penalty, didn't he? He came on and made a difference, no doubt about it.
And I think, so from a Manchester United point of view, there were... obviously there's Pogba, came on, did Pogba things, but Pogba, old Pogba, who we loved as an FPL asset things. And I see absolutely the potential in investing in him. But for me, it was Bruno Fernandes again that stood out in that game. He, you know, it wasn't the most exciting of games, I think, for the maybe the first 70
minutes. But none
were
really across the game week, frankly.
No, but what I thought was really interesting is that both of those teams had, in a way that the others haven't in some of the other games, those two, they had a plan, they had a strategy, and they played it, both sides, in the way that they'd kind of been directed to. And I felt, watching Manchester United, that there was a real... A determination in them, and they looked really good. And for me, Bruno Fernandes is the absolute one to have.
All right, FPL Companion is in. He's saying, I hate watching Martial. He doesn't move. I could never own him. So how are we feeling about investment in Manchester United across the board
Martial?
Then? So, across the board. So I think if you're looking for someone to partner Bruno Fernandes with, because I think from an FPL perspective, he is looking like the one to have. Yeah. I mean, set pieces, penalties, gets in amongst it. A number of times I saw him burst into the box. I'm like, I was worried, because this game, obviously he's coming back into my team now, but it wasn't in my free hit.
Mm-hmm.
I did try and get him in there, but it would have meant taking Trent out. So I don't know, maybe I've come out about even there, I don't know. But it was not good. It was uncomfortable viewing not having Bruno Fernandes in my FPL team.
Agreed.
In my free hit, because he is one of those players that his avenue to points is so varied and so many. So if you're looking across the Manchester United fixture, so Sheffield United next. Now, listen, Egan got sent off, so he's out.
No Henderson.
No Henderson, because he can't play. The other dude at the back, O'Connell.
Doubtful.
Right? So Sheffield United look a bit broken at the back going into that game. They've got to go to Old Trafford. Now, I don't think they've become bad defensively, Sheffield United, just because they've got a few players out, but it will make a big difference.
But they weren't great in the last game against Manchester United because they didn't have Henderson.
True, that's true, yeah. And actually, if you look at the Man United fixtures going forward after that Sheffield United game, which we've just said is probably going to be a bit easier than the fixture difficulty rating suggests.
They're captainable now, I think.
You've got Brighton away, then Bournemouth at home, and Villa away, and Southampton at home. The Man United fixtures look absolutely unreal.
One thing I will just say that was really interesting to me, if you're talking about people to have alongside Bruno Fernandes, because I'm in the camp that one Manchester United is not enough, and I'm still in the camp that one Manchester United is not enough, having watched them on Friday night, is that it did not look to me, when that second penalty was given, that Fernandes was taking it.
Rashford made a play for it, didn't he?
It looked very much like Rashford was taking that penalty.
Why is that? What's going on there?
I don't know. And Manchester United fans, Josh is there, Amy Fan TV is here, and I don't know, Steve's in. Are they sharing them?
Yeah, what's going on there?
I'm not sure. But Fernandes definitely took the first one. It looked like Rashford was going to take the second one before it was rightly, thank you VAR, ruled as a non
You were sweating for a bit.
I was livid, wasn't I?
It had to be a yellow for Bruno for me. It was a clear dive.
I was going mental. Beyond belief mental. Because having watched, obviously, the Hawkeye fail on Wednesday night, I was like, if they give this, I am going to go through the roof.
So go on then, Bruno captain for next week. How are you feeling about that?
I think...
Liverpool at home to Palace, but Bruno captain at home to Sheffield United.
I honestly think, having watched Sheffield United today, knowing that they've now got no Henderson, no Egan, potentially no O'Connell...
An extra game in their legs, which is...
An extra game in their
legs. That'll be heavy at this stage.
Which we already saw, and we can talk about this as a factor in a minute. We already saw from Arsenal, Sheffield and Aston Villa, how quickly they tired.
God, Villa
in these
looked so
games.
Leggy too.
They looked
gone. Sheffield
United
did as well.
After about 50 minutes, they all looked dead.
Yeah.
So that's a big factor now. So obviously it's a factor for every side because we're all going back into second games. But it's even bigger for Sheffield United, Aston Villa, we haven't seen Man City yet, but Arsenal, because they're in their third game. So for me, Bruno Fernandes... looks like an absolutely great captain shout.
And I think generally speaking about United, there is a good feel-good factor around the club right now because of what Rashford's doing off the pitch, because Pogba's coming back. Those fixtures, I would be surprised if they didn't get top four with those fixtures.
I would too. And they came on they were on a really good run before the break happened. That kind of Ollie wheels falling off had all disappeared. There was none of that negativity. I think the Manchester United fan base, from what I'm reading, seem to have come back very positive that this could be the turning point. And obviously the Pogba situation seems to have resolved itself. So yeah,
to a degree, yeah.
I feel very positive about Manchester United.
Okay. All right. The Luke Guy 7 is in. He's saying Bruno said after that they're sharing penalties. Okay, there we are. They're sharing. Going with Rashford and Bruno, Frodo is saying, interestingly. Let's see what else you guys are saying. Dan Frost is in. Pogba or Richarlison in my free hit team.
Well, there's only one choice there.
At the minute, it's looking like maybe a punt on Pogba isn't too bad. And he's still a bit of a differential. Talk to me about Spurs, though. We did a Fantasy Football Scout video where we were talking about mid-priced midfielders, and I chucked a few out there from Spurs. I said, well, probably Dele Alli is probably a little bit out of that bracket. But you could look at Lo Celso and Moura and Bergwijn, and immediately, and this was obviously before the Spurs and Man United game, you went, of the three, I would pick Bergwijn. And I was like, okay, interesting, you'd go for him rather than Moura. And you were saying, yeah, he's looked good in training, and he looks a naturally fit guy, and Harry Kane's come out and said a few things about looking forward to playing with Bergwijn. And then he, of course, gets the goal. So what was it that you saw about Bergwijn? And I'm interested to hear what your I don't want you to tell me what's happening with Spurs players on your wildcard. We'll come to that a bit later on, but I'm starting to feel like it might be lacking a bit of Kane and might be adding a bit of Bergwijn. Am I right?
You just said I didn't want me to tell you. I think Bergwijn is honestly one of the best players I've seen put on a Spurs shirt in a very, very long
time.
Why
do you have to do this?
No, genuinely.
Why do you go and... I'll give you an opportunity to just say a player's decent and you've gone off into the stratosphere.
No, I do. Genuinely. No. I think there's some good players at Spurs. I think he's got potential. No, honestly, I do. To be brilliant. And I like what he says. I like his attitude.
One of the best players to put on a Spurs shirt in what, recent memory? Is that what you just said?
In a long time.
Blimey. You're obviously really rating them.
Really
what am I missing?
Everything.
What, is he that good? Is he any good in FPL though? Doesn't take penalties, set pieces or anything. Is he gonna
Did you watch him on Friday night? Did you watch him get a goal?
Listen, David De Gea's got to save that under normal circumstances. Well,
did you listen to Roy Keane? David De Gea's been left on the coach.
I did listen to Roy Keane. I'll tell you what. It was a bloody highlight of my weekend. I thought it was absolutely brilliant.
We were laughing so much. I was in tears. Like,
Roy Keane, if he wasn't in a Sky studio, but instead was on a park bench with a bottle of White Lightning with that hairdo having a rat, you would have said that would have been...
It was Evra as well, just winding him up. Evra was just like...
Would you put him on the bus, Roy, like that, just giving him a little smile? And Roy Keane was just getting so incensed at it. It's absolutely brilliant.
But I really rate Bergwijn. I rate his fitness levels are good, his speed across the board is good, his understanding of the game is good, and his relationship with Mourinho, I don't know how, because Mourinho having a relationship with him is difficult, but it's really there, and I think he's guaranteed to start. I don't think Moura is.
Let's see what the live chat's saying about your outrageous comment there, Sam. Ad Whitfield, he's saying, can Bergwijn replace Son to save the money? How you feel about that?
Yeah.
Oh, yes he can, Ad Sam is saying. Chris De Gea should have saved the shot, so yes. Steve Wynyard just says, Sam at it again. Sage is saying, no, Sam, what about Son? You forget about Son. Frodo is saying Son or Bergwijn. I mean, we're in two different FPL price brackets here.
I'm not forgetting about him, but I think for the price difference between Bergwijn and Son... No, I'm not... At no point am I saying that Son's a bad player or a bad FPL asset, but the price difference is massive.
All right, Ad Whitfield. Spurs goggles, he says. Benny Blanco. Sam waxing lyrical about Spurs.
It's not Spurs. It's just Bergwijn.
Sam O'Sullivan, is Aurier worth a punt?
No.
Never worth a punt, is he? Jamie Taylor, Roy Keane was brilliant. Andrew Yee, hey Andrew. Roy Keane is just a parody now. He is the new meme.
Honestly.
I can't believe there wasn't any more memes.
I'd like to go back and watch it again. It was that funny.
So there we go, guys. That is Sam's top tip. And we're going to see your wild card a bit later. There will be Spurs players in it, particularly when the fixtures look like this. West Ham at home next, which looks good. Then away at Sheffield United, who of course will have Henderson back, but you know, still a bit broken at the back. Everton at home, Bournemouth away, Arsenal at home. The fixtures do look all right for Spurs. I anticipate a pretty good head-to-head battle between Spurs and United for that Champions League spot.
Hello? Well, you just said something nice about Spurs.
Well, listen, there was an opportunity for you both there, Man United and Spurs, to really take the ball by the horns in that race, and neither of you did. By the end of it, it sort of felt like you were both happy with a point to then see how the games would go throughout the rest of the season. But I want to come to another team that is in the race for that fourth spot, or for the Champions League
spot. The
ones
that, in my view, are going to get it.
And that is Wolves.
Oh my God.
And I'll tell you what, Wolves look very, very, very good. And if you look at the fixture difficulty rating table there on Fantasy Football Scout, which I'll just bring up on the screen, Man United, who I've just waxed lyrical about in terms of their fixtures, then it's Spurs, then it's Wolves. So we are going to have what it looks like a real good three or four way shootout, because obviously the Chelsea fixture is not too bad either. Can you discount Sheffield United at this stage? I don't know, possibly. But Man United, Spurs and Wolves, that is going to be a really good battle. And with Leicester dropping points as well, maybe the tide is just starting to turn. Talk to me about Wolves. The fixtures are really good. Jimenez at it again. Adama Traore at it again. Doherty at it again. We've got to be doubling up on Wolves, haven't we?
Honestly.
Got to be.
I think Wolves will get Champions League.
They look really good.
They looked
really good.
Of all of the games.
I say really good. It was another first half that was not, that won't live long in the memory. But they come out second half and did really good.
But yeah, but look, if you look at it across all of the teams that have played so far, I mean, we haven't seen Burnley. They might be amazing. But of all of the teams we've watched so far, that Wolves performance was by far the best performance I've watched.
How good was that Adama Traore assist as well? That cross was just begging to be headed in. And Jimenez, if he's going to get service like that,
yeah,
he will get tons of goals.
The fitness levels in that team were beyond.
Yeah, they did look good actually, fitness-wise.
They,
yes,
they
I
did
agree.
Not. And that's, for me, key in this, is that I watched a lot of the other games and you were getting towards sort of 70, 80 minutes and the players were starting to look tired. There was a lot of legs, particularly like Harry Kane's a prime example of that, really leggy by about 70 minutes.
Yeah.
Wolves, I didn't see any of that. They were playing, and they were playing.
Yeah,
it was
yeah.
hard playing. And like Adama Traore, that man, if he's going to... My issue with him is he going to start him? Because if he's going to come... I mean, if he's going to come off the bench and get assists, then great, but...
We've just talked about the potential for Bruno Fernandes to be a game week 31 captain at home to Sheffield United. Jimenez at home to Bournemouth has to... You have to be looking at that, don't you?
Well, Bournemouth looked...
Because Bournemouth looked shot, guys, by the way. I thought Bournemouth were pretty tragic. One of those teams that I thought, you know, again, a bit like I've been saying about Norwich, which obviously was wrong as well. Said a lot of wrong things over the break. if Howe could have got them going, you know, they really need to get some momentum and win the first couple of games. You know, get going. They just didn't.
Norwich and Bournemouth both looked like dead men walking.
Bournemouth looked really bad, didn't they? Both. So against Wolves, who look good, back at Molineux... It's going to be tough for them, right? Adama Traore rested, if that's the right phrase. I don't know. I haven't really seen if there was anything wrong with him or not. The one thing I will say about Traore is but the guy is so muscular. I mean, there's so many muscles for him to potentially pull there, isn't there? Let's face it. He's just freaking huge, isn't he?
Enormous.
So it's like when he comes on, it's just like, and he's bombing down the wing like that. Yeah. The potential for that guy to ping a hamstring must be very high. So Espirito Santo must be looking at that going, right, I want to just...
Shoulder, though. That seemed to have kind of...
The shoulder thing seems to have disappeared, yeah. But again, Doherty, I mean, you have to be looking at Doherty now for your team, don't you?
Well, I've got to say, I got a bit lucky. Because, I did. Because my last minute transfers that I was making, it freed up some cash, didn't it? So the Samatta down to Nketiah thing freed up some money. And so it freed up exactly enough money to upgrade Sias to Doherty. So I was like, sod it, it's done, I'm doing it. Because I don't really care about Nketiah. You play twice, get three, whatever. But Doherty, that felt like, that was the player I wanted but couldn't afford. So he came in. And my first wild card that I wrote prior to that Wolves game had Doherty go back out again for one of the cheaper Wolves assets.
Okay.
And I sat there and I watched that and I was like, over my dead body, will that man ever leave my fantasy team again?
No, I think he looks really, really good. Looks really, really good. And as we said in the live streams in between, you know, while we were doing the break or when we said last week, Doherty before the break was getting into those positions. He was foxing the box kind of fullback. It was absolutely insane. So he's a lock in my team. Absolutely lock in my team. As he is in, he's saying Traore fits into that impact role nicely, potentially off the bench impact role, maybe.
Yes.
I think there's more to him than that, to be fair. But actually, Chris in the live chat is agreeing with him.
Adama is Wolves' secret weapon to come on rather than somebody that's going to start potentially. Well, let's keep an eye on that. Let's keep an eye. The Luke Guy, thank you for the super chat from the Luke Guy 7. He's saying Rashford for Vardy or Ings for Dominic Calvert-Lewin for a -4. So he's looking at taking a hit for next week. Do you want to bring Rashford for Vardy? So Rashford in for Jamie Vardy, I think. Or Ings for Dominic Calvert-Lewin. So he wants to bring Rashford or Ings in, I think. And he's got Vardy or Dominic Calvert-Lewin going out. So of those two, Rashford or Ings, who would you prioritise?
Well, this is where it becomes difficult because I prioritise Rashford over Ings, but I prioritise getting rid of Calvert-Lewin over Vardy.
Yeah, okay. But money-wise, you can't really do that. I think Rashford is the one to prioritise.
I do too, but the Leicester fixtures are all right and Vardy didn't look too bad.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe. FPL Companion is saying, all right, you can talk about your Jimenezes and your... Doherty's and all those. He said, well, Neto for next week. Lee. Watch this face. 0.2% owned. I mean, goodness me. There's
Which
a lot.
Is Neto?
He's pretty cheap. And I mean, what an unbelievable finish that was, by the way. Absolutely unbelievable finish. And of course, as you know, guys, we know Kelly Sommers pretty well, don't we, from PLP, from Premier League Productions and stuff. Big Wolves fan. She really rates Neto, really rates him, and says that I think the manager does as well. So I completely agree with what Companion is saying here. I think Neto is going to see more minutes. So if you're looking for a differential, looking to go against the grain of the Jimenezes and the Dohertys and the Trail Rays, maybe Neto is one to have a look at.
As well as?
If you're going to triple Wolves, maybe.
I really don't think that you should be without Doherty and Jimenez.
Okay. All right, so that's Wolves.
I don't think triple's a bad idea.
We absolutely need to be looking at Wolves. So those are the teams with the top... three fixtures going forward.
What a race!
So, it's looking really, really good. One team that I do want to touch on because their fixtures look really, really good as well. And I hate to keep talking about fixtures, but given where we are with the season as it is, and it's difficult to look at form right now, although we've got a bit of a feel for it based on one game, I want to throw Newcastle out there. Newcastle out there because you said it last live stream and I said, you've got to be kidding. They are in that bracket of under-motivated, can't be arsed, etc. And you went, no, you've got to be looking. And as usual, Sam, you are absolutely right because not only have they smashed a leggy-looking Sheffield United 3-0 today with Matt Ritchie not only getting on the score sheet but getting an assist as well and a clean sheet because he's classed as a defender.
Yeah, we had a big long chat in the Slack about Matt Ritchie.
Not only have they gone and smashed Sheffield United 3-0, but their fixtures coming up are Aston Villa, who look, as you say, a little bit dead, Bournemouth, who look dead, West Ham United at home, who look dead. So the next three for Newcastle look insane. So many people will be looking at United and Wolves and Spurs. Do not overlook Newcastle,
Please don't. Yeah. Genuinely, I really... And I might have gone mad, but over the break, once the training restarted, I was watching what was going on at Newcastle and it all seemed quite positive. There's all this chatter about... the potential for a takeover and a new manager and all of that kind of stuff. And all of that builds into this kind of atmosphere of, I've got something to play for.
How good was Saint-Maximin today?
Yeah.
Good. He's a really nice player, yeah.
And I do genuinely think that there is something in Newcastle at the moment that is building towards something new. And in which case, I think they are one of these teams that, because we know that there is likely to be a shorter gap between this season and next season, there's got to be something built now in order for next season to start well.
All right. Notorious and Early saying, get Matty Ritchie, FPL Companion. Ritchie at 5.3 is nice if you've got a spare million over Lascelles. So interesting to know, Companion, whether you think he's worth that extra million. Adam Wheeler is in, he's saying, I've got Lascelles. So Lascelles pretty popular in the live chat. We've had a couple of super chats. One from Emma. Thank you, Emma, for the super chat. She is saying, and you like this one, Sam, take a hit for this next week. Salah and Bolly out. Doherty and KDB in. Can't believe you haven't got KDB already, Emma.
Okay, yeah, if you haven't got KDB, that's essential. But But also be careful of leaving yourself short on Liverpool. Why am I telling the Liverpool fan this?
Salah out, Emma, come on.
Before you've won the league.
Yeah, maybe. Needed him today, didn't we? Another super chat from Liam. Thank you, Liam, for the super chat. Very much appreciated, mate. Let's see, where else can we go? We've got to wrap up these fixtures pretty quickly. Anywhere else you want to go, Sam?
I think we should cover a quick mention for Palace.
Go on,
because, I know that they were playing a really terrible Bournemouth side yesterday.
Van Aanholt with an assist.
Yeah.
Not only is he assisting Katie Hopkins off of Twitter, well done PVA, but he's assisting goals at the weekend as well. So
yeah, and I think I kind of, and this is where I made a mistake, I listened to Lee and all of this chatter about ignore Palace because they're in mid-table.
You listened to me as a mistake. Yeah, if you haven't figured that out already, FPL family, yes. Listening to me
I listened to Lee a bit with Palace and I didn't really pay much attention until I looked at the league table and realised they're now 11 on points with us.
Are they really?
Yeah, and I looked at
it. Does that
mean
you're mid-table or Palace are in the fight for top four?
Shut up.
Definitely the former.
Oh.
Palace in the Champions League then, is that what you're about to say? Come
on. Right, did you hear the interview with Miljokovic at the end of the game where the commentator, it was Kelly, and Kelly asked him, where are you looking? And he said, we're looking up. We're looking up. Now, for me, that was a really interesting interview.
Sam.
No, listen, hear me out. It was a really interesting interview because suddenly you've got a Crystal Palace team. At this point in the season, I would never, ever say look at Crystal Palace, ever. Because they're always looking down, but they're safe. So there's nothing to play for. Now, they're in a position where they're level on points with Spurs. They're above Arsenal. If we're still going to talk about Arsenal being in the hunt, then we've got to put Crystal Palace in that bracket as
well. But we need to stop that conversation because no one's going to be bringing in Palace ahead of a trip to Anfield, right? In 32, you might at home to Burnley, but then they go away to Leicester, it's Chelsea. Fixtures are difficult for Palace. You're not going to invest in a Miljokovic or a Zahari unless you're going really rogue.
I wouldn't say you should invest in Zahar, but there are potential options there.
Jordan
Ayew
as a
Jordan Ayew
enabler, maybe. Right?
Jordan Ayew is one that I am looking at for my team.
Are you? Goodness me. Where else? A very quick word then for, where are they? Chelsea. So, again, 2-1, frankly, flatters Aston Villa massively. I mean, we watched that game. We did an Insta reaction over on Instagram. If you're not following us on Instagram, at FPL Family over there, we try and do every game that we watch, we will do an Insta reaction.
Obviously,
quick,
wasn't one.
1 minute, 60 seconds of how we just feel about that game. Just a real quick one from an FPL perspective after we've watched it. And Chelsea dominated, completely dominated that game. How they were 1-0 down at half-time was ridiculous, frankly. And then Pulisic comes on, gets the goal, lovely cross from Azpilicueta. And as he tends to do, I mean, I don't know, even the Chelsea fans don't massively rate Giroud, but goodness me, he does pop up with the odd important goal every now and again. So how are we feeling about Chelsea, given that we, again, on the Fantasy Football Scout video about mid-price midfielders, we discussed Willian and Pedro, but we did discuss Pulisic in there. We chucked him in there at 6.9 million. Still in that kind of differential-ish bracket. How are you feeling about him? The fixtures don't look too bad. After the City game, then it's West Ham, Watford, Crystal Palace, Sheffield United. I mean, they're in there. They've got to consolidate that fourth spot.
I think with Chelsea, we've got the perfect opportunity to just watch. We should not also forget about Mount in this conversation.
Of course, yeah.
It's the perfect opportunity to watch Chelsea because you're not realistically probably going to bring them in ahead of the Man City game. They're not that expensive either, so you can bring them in as Lee's just said. You know, we're talking about them as mid-priced midfielders. I think it's become difficult up top. If you own Tammy for this week, it's now hard because I was having a chat with my brother earlier, who, as you all well know by now, is a diehard
Chelsea.
And before kickoff and before the team sheet came out, I said, "Any thoughts today?" And he said, "No, Abraham. It'll be Giroud." And I was like, "Giroud."
Yeah.
It was Giroud.
Don't forget, Giroud was in cracking form.
Which is what Chris
coming
said,
into the lockdown.
Wasn't it?
Yeah.
And he said, and you know, watching the training and stuff, he felt it would be Giroud. And I think we've got the perfect opportunity here with Chelsea to just wait one game week because they've got to play City again this week. That'll be a tough game, but we'll see who starts, who doesn't.
Yeah.
And it'll be a good opportunity then to bring them in ahead of that nice fixture bracket that they've got after 31.
Yeah, Notorious Nerd is in here saying Giroud last four games. Of course, it's difficult to say stats like this, but he's pointing out a very good point. Giroud, last four games, four starts, three goals, one assist in his last four. Benny Blanco is saying Giroud or Dominic Calvert-Lewin. FPL Companion is saying Dominic Calvert-Lewin better than Giroud, Benny. How do you feel about that?
On today's performances, I would say Giroud is better than Calvert-Lewin, but okay. Giroud's only better than Calvert-Lewin if he continues to start, which is why I think it's important that we just wait and see who Lampard plays against City this week.
Okay, and Highbury Boys is in. How are we doing? He's saying Mount has to be one of the most frustrating point scorers in FPL. Great player, but no end result. Well, we did see at the beginning of this season some end result from Mason Mount, so it's not as if he's always been like that.
No.
Maybe today, but I think in the past we've seen Mason Mount be actually a pretty good FPL asset. So
yeah.
At the price that he is, given that he's a couple of million or he's a significant chunk of change cheaper than the likes of Pulisic and Willian and Pedro, who, in my view, will get limited game time between now and the end of the season because of their age, frankly, more than anything. And I think Willian's been linked away potentially in the summer. So if you're going
to
pick between Mount and Pulisic,
I don't know, Mount's probably looking all right value, to be fair.
Mount looks great value. I think of the two of them, I'd rather have Pulisic. I mean, we shouldn't also forget that Loftus-Cheek started today. Obviously, no points, but did start and I thought looked quite good. So, another one to watch.
So, there we go. Loads to discuss. I mean, there's plenty going on this game week. And I think we've got a bit more of an insight as to which teams are going to hit the ground. Yeah, you know, I mean, I must admit, guys, I will happily sit here with my hands up and say I was totally wrong last week. On some of them, yeah. But I mean, I was looking at that mid-table bracket and I just dismissed them. Mm. And I seem stupid to do that now because they've all won, and won very convincingly, by the way.
They have played a lot of the lower sides, so that is something to consider.
They have, but I actually thought that would go against them because I thought the lower sides would see the break as an opportunity to come back and we'll do 9 cup finals then, and we'll save our season. But Norwich were rubbish and Bournemouth were rubbish and Villa looked really leggy in that second game and looked to... You know, they were lucky in that first game because that's gone over the line, isn't it? Clear, technology's failed them. So they should have really lost back-to-back defeats there without Grealish looking that good. But again, as we mentioned this time last week, what sort of effect is McGinn going to have on Grealish? Well, if you look at Grealish's heat maps, he was sitting a bit deeper.
That's the one thing that I'm really frustrated in myself for, the Grealish thing.
Yeah.
I'm really annoyed
for bringing him in with your unlimited transfers.
Because I just got fear. And I know that I should never... do that. I should always make my FPL decisions based on what I want to do and not on fear of something, but the high ownership stuff really worried me, and I brought him in and I didn't want him, and I sat there with you on Wednesday night once the deadline passed and the game kicked off and was like, why have I got Grealish in my team? I don't want him. I don't like him.
Well, let's have a look at how our teams did get on then, Sam. Let's have a look at, firstly, we're going to have a look at your team. So
I'm just going to bring it up here so I can actually see it.
Just to remind the guys on the live stream,
these were before
how you were set up. So this is before the Liverpool game, guys. So I had to set all the stream up and do all the images before the Liverpool game. Now, you guys will be able to tell us in the chat how many points Trent got. Sounded like it was
7,
9.
7, by the look of it.
7, okay, so Trent's got 7. So your game week points for this week is 106, which, using the unlimited transfers, using your bench boost, was pretty good. So
no Salah.
So no Salah, okay, fair enough. So that's a bit disappointing. But, you know, Leno getting your points, Doherty getting your points, Lascelles getting your points.
The bench boost
You've got to be pretty happy with that game week, right?
Yeah, the bench boosts work fine. The unlimited chances themselves work fine. I'm annoyed by Grealish, but that is what it is. I'm pleased with my keepers. The Leno thing's unfortunate, but it is what it is. I never intended to keep Leno beyond...
This game, so
it doesn't...
And you've got your wild card, so it's fine. Just get rid of him, right?
So that's fine. The Sheffield United collapse today just cost me massively because, obviously, they were all on for really good points after game week one of this game week.
You've got to change both your goalkeepers, potentially.
No, I'm not going to change Henderson. I've owned Henderson since game week one. I've got so much value in Henderson. I would want him back. So I'm going to keep him, and I'll just get a new keeper to play alongside him. It's fine. Egan is frustrating because that could have been and should have been so different. I still don't believe that was a yellow card the first time. It was really soft. It is what it is. But, you know, the rest of them, obviously I'm pleased with Trent. I'm glad I kept him. Lundstrom, I'm pleased I had for the game, first game.
Yeah.
Still got my captain, obviously, to play again in KDB. Mahrez and Aguero to play again. I think, you know, Aguero, I'm fairly safe he's going to get to start that game. Mahrez, I would expect to get minutes in that game. Whether he starts or not, I guess we'll see. Pleased to have Doherty. Lascelles, pleased I kept him. Obviously, Jimenez is just an absolute legend. So
99 points is going to be an FPL companion. He's saying, actually... Trent maybe got 8 now. Oh no, he actually corrects himself and says 7. So it's 7 for Trent.
Yeah.
He's got 106 points. Total points, 1,841. New overall rank, you've gone up from 4.6k to 2.3k.
I'll tell you where
so
I am.
So you've halved your rank again. It's absolutely sensational stuff. Yeah. So do you consider that to be a successful bench boost? Are you happy with that so far?
Yeah, I'm happy. Yeah, I'm happy with that. Yeah, so where am I now? 2... Yeah,
2.2k. Okay. Yeah. With, of course, De Bruyne to play captain.
And Mahrez and
Aguero. Mahrez to play, Aguero to play. So, yeah, with a fair wind, you're going to be up in the 110s, 120s, you'd hope, right?
Well, I mean, I'm on 106 now. So if I don't hit 120, I'll be disappointed. Because in theory, KDB should be getting at least 6 for a clean sheet and 2 points.
Because it's KDB, that's what
and
it does.
And it's my captain.
Yeah.
So 3 doubled, he's going to get at least 6, you would have thought.
You'd hope so, yeah.
And then Aguero and Mahrez, we'll see what they get. But, yeah, I mean, I'm fairly happy with that as a restart. I don't think you can knock it. It's a green arrow and a fairly big, at my end of the, where I am, that's a fairly big green arrow. Though,
yes,
it is.
Well, any game week that halves your rank is a good game.
It's good.
It's a good game. No doubt.
And, you know, it brings me that bit closer to the top 1K. I think I'm about 18 points away from it now. When I started the game, we like 28 points away from it, so that's decent enough.
Yeah, well, Tracy helped us in. How are we doing, Tracy? She's saying, well done, Sam. 2.2k is absolutely amazing. And I Want Goals 15 just says 99 points. Bloody hell. So there's a lot of love in the chat for your team tonight, and it's looking really, really good. And of course, now going into 31, and we'll show your wild card or your second draft of the wild card team. Every opportunity to go flying into that top 1K with a bit of luck.
Let's hope so.
With a bit of luck, let's see. My team, for what it's worth, is looking actually not too bad. So
free hit team, right?
This is my free hit team, guys. So I didn't play any of the unlimited transfers, as you guys would have heard on the FPL show and on this live stream last week. I was planning to completely ignore the unlimited transfers because I was pretty happy with my team that was coming back. And I stand by that. I look at my team now that I've got in the app, my bus team, if you like, for game week 31 plus. And I'm pretty happy with it. Would I like to have Jimenez? Yes, absolutely. Is there a couple, you know, would I want to do something probably with Aubameyang? Yeah, maybe now. But I look through the rest of it and I think, and I look at, and I've seen your wildcard draft, and I think you're looking to, you know, a lot of the players in your wildcard draft are quite similar to what my 11
right.
looks like.
So what, so you think I'm copying you?
I don't think you're copying me. I'm just quite happy that I don't need to make wholesale changes going into 31 plus. So I feel okay with it. But 30 plus has been pretty kind to me, given I haven't got the bench boost. I've just got the 11 playing. So Trent obviously will come in with the 7 points, so I'll have 99 points going to bed tonight, which I'm very happy with. Of course, Henderson, very, very pleased that I went Leno over Henderson.
What do you have to say to
which
me?
I think was something that you suggested
did,
this
what
time
did
last
you say?
Week. Yeah, and
thank
actually I think Emma actually suggested it on the Slack as well. So thank you, Emma.
Oh, what? I don't get a thank you.
I just thanked you. Goodness me. I actually tried to talk Emma out of doing triple Sheffield United and she was no, I will be doing it. And I did do it. So yeah, Henderson very happy with. And of course, happy with Stevens and Lundstrom. Not so happy with them today, but nevertheless, did all right the other night. Doherty's obviously good. Grealish and McGinn, very disappointed to not get anything out of those guys. But listen, you live and learn. Happy with Sterling. So I took a bit of a, I wouldn't say it's a punt on Sterling, but I just felt like he had a bit of a point to prove. Coming back
right.
into in Project Restart, and he had a good game.
He did
good
have a
game.
Good game. Yeah,
I mean,
right.
put the goal to one side, actually played pretty well in a way that we haven't seen necessarily from Sterling a lot this season. So again, one of those naturally fit guys, hoping for more from him against Burnley, although I think he did play the majority of that game. So is he going to start? Is he not?
I think he starts.
My money is on limited minutes, whether
starts.
He starts or not,
goes
limited
off,
minutes.
I
yeah.
think.
But nevertheless, he's got the 10 in the bag already, so I'm happy with that. KDB captain, obviously happy. Aubameyang, massive disappointment, clearly. And then Aguero, let's see what he can do against Burnley tomorrow night. So, again, reasonably happy with the team. Overrank's gone up from 87k to currently on 56k.
Ooh.
That was pre-Trent as well. So we'll have a quick live look at Fantasy Football Fix to fit to see where I am, to see whether Trent has helped me or not.
Oh, we will.
Yeah, upper K. Yeah, upper K. So 55k, which is... I'm pretty happy with, to be honest with you. Pretty
nice.
Happy with. I'll take that. Obviously, no wild card going into game week 31. I will get my team back. My lockdown team, if you want to call it that, are coming back in. But if I look
team.
At that lockdown team, Sam, as I said before, here's the reason I didn't use any of the unlimited transfers, because I have Patricio and Doherty, which now looks like a bit of a differential to have a double Wolves defence. I've got Fernandes coming back into my team. He's going nowhere. Salah does come back into my team, which is an interesting thing I have to think about. But home to Palace, given that he was on the bench tonight, I think is probably a keep. Saka comes back into my team, probably quite happy to keep him based on performances. Dominic Calvert-Lewin comes back into my team, probably quite happy to keep him given he plays Norwich next. So the one or two things that probably a hit might sort out. Joe Gomez is in my team, coming back into my team. And as we saw, Matip got the start tonight, although
but
Joe Gomez come in. So let's see.
Some injuries there now, so surely he's going to play.
Maybe he plays. I've got Charlie Taylor coming back into my team. So long story short about my lockdown team coming back for 31, it doesn't need wholesale changes. And I now have that extra week's worth of information. Now listen, would I be happier if I had a wild card? Yeah, sure, but it happens. Right? I played it right before lockdown, so I haven't got it. But having not got the wild card in my pocket, I'm kind of okay with where I am.
So are you thinking you'll take a hit going into this game week, or not make any changes and have two for the week after?
Well, I haven't decided that yet, to be honest with you. I'm looking at it, I'm thinking, well, my first 11 currently looks really, really good on paper. I'm benching Saar, for example. I mean, any game week where I've got to bench Saar, my first 11 can't be too bad. That first 11 does include Aubameyang, though, right now. But again, he's away at Southampton. That's not a terrible fixture, is it?
They've got a win now.
If it was a London derby, if they were going to Anfield or whatever, maybe I'd think about getting him out. But listen, away to Southampton is okay.
Yeah.
That's okay. And again, you'd like to think that Saints being buoyed on, from the result they had earlier today or this weekend, they might want to push forward a bit. They might leave a bit of space in behind. I don't know. I'm not like, yes, I'd like to get rid of him. I'm not gagging to get rid of him, right? So anyway, 92 points. Trent will make that 99. That'll be the first time, assuming KDB, Sterling and Aguero get a point between them tomorrow night. It'll be the first time I've been in the 100 club for a very, very long term. A very, very long time. So I'll be very happy with that. So there it is. That's the tale of the tape. I want to get into your wildcard team. So this is the team that you are considering for game week 31. And just as you're looking that up, guys, get into the live chat. Let's see what scores you got this game week. So Paul Guidi, sorry if I've butchered your surname, Paul, 101 with KDB, Mahrez and Captain Aguero to go.
I'd be quite happy if I had Captain Aguero.
I would. Of course, I'd be thinking, well, what could have been with KDB, but Aguero could do very, very well tomorrow night. Evander Alexis is in. He is saying 112 points this game week. Looking very, very nice indeed. MU Fan TV is indeed in, Sam. Hey, MU Fan TV. He's on 95 points, so no worries, he says. No worries. Very happy with that. Yeah, no problem at all. Let's see what else you guys are saying. Bilal is on 100. Dead on the 100. Ton up for Bilal Qureshi. Very nice score. Carry 256, 106 with KDB. Triple captain to go. I like the sound of that. Fancy Football Focus is saying 80 points. Very good. Very nice score. Josh is saying 109. Josh, very nice. Very nice. KDB captain, Mahrez and Aguero to go.
Oh, the same ones.
Chris is saying 116 for me with three to go. That is a really nice score. Let's see. Gellerhorn, 92 with KDB captain. Saeed is saying 99 with Captain Aguero to go. Abhishek, 120 with some Man City players to go. Devontae Black, 108 points with KDB, Sterling and Kun captain to play.
So many 100 plus.
Some really, really nice scores. Some really nice scores. John Ontiveros, 113 with three City players to go. So guys, some really, really nice looking scores knocking about. Really nice looking scores. That said, let's look ahead to game week 31. So don't rest on your laurels, guys. If you're up in the 100 club, very well done to you. But take a breath. And we go again. We go again on Tuesday. And Tuesday for you, Sam, currently looks like this. This is your wildcard draft for game week 31 onwards. And of course, you'll be setting yourself up for the rest of the season, I suggest. Talk us through it. How are you thinking?
So obviously, my big issue this game week is keeping options. Because I don't have Henderson to play this week. That means I need a second keeper. So if you watched me on the FPL show, I didn't have Pope. I had Moore, who was the Sheffield United keeper that played in the last game against Manchester United when Henderson couldn't play.
Sure, okay.
But there is another keeper option there. So I was slightly concerned that I might get the wrong keeper and then not have a keeper. So I've sort of fiddled about and so we can see if we can
get the
guys
in the live chat, by the way, are saying, Sam, we cannot believe, Sam, that you've gone straight to the first thing you want to talk about is the goalkeeper.
Well, start at the back.
Shardy is saying, where's Harry Kane? Mark O'Leary is saying, a Spurs player. Benny Blanco, no Kane. Wow.
Well, I started at the back.
Mode is saying Son or Bergwijn. Sam, we can't believe that you haven't started talking about Kane.
All right, we'll go up top. Let's talk about Kane. So I watched the game on Friday night and
I thought he's done as a player, finished.
Right, seriously, you and me, we've got to have words because I have had a lot of DMs. You and me,
oh my God,
are in so much trouble, by the way, and you've just reminded me of this. I totally forgot that you've said on Twitter, not he's done as an FPL asset, he's done as a player.
I didn't say that.
Are you having a laugh?
I didn't say that. What I said was,
no, are you having a laugh?
By the way, I'm sorry for all the people, all the Spurs fans I triggered on Twitter.
Done as a player?
That was a proper trolling comment, and it got a lot of likes, actually. But a lot of people were saying,
have told you to absolutely...
And by the way, I said finished as a player, question mark. It was a question.
No.
It was a question.
I got pictures of it. It was not... It was not a question. Oh, I've got a lot of... People don't really like you. They... You just line them up. You deliberately wind them up. And I'm not happy about it, by the way. I'm not happy with you.
You know Sam's not happy, by the way, guys, when the finger, like, comes out and you start wagging it at me like that. Like some sort of old Italian housewife.
Well, imagine
I'm not happy with you.
What?
No one likes you.
Imagine if I come out with to you and said that one of your players was done, not just as an FPL asset, it's done as a player.
Our team is about to win the league, Sam. We are current European champions. None of our team are
done. Didn't really see much of that today, did you? Didn't see much league winning potential there today.
Come on then, let's see this. What's going on this team? Come on.
Right, so I've taken Harry Kane out. Not because he's done as a player, but because because I don't think he's fit there yet. Don't think that there is match fitness in him. And I watched him, and what I saw is that for the first sort of 40 minutes, 45 minutes, first half really, I was like, I'm still on the Kane train. I'm happy with this. I think there's, it's fine.
Yeah.
And then it got to about 55 minutes, and I, believe me, was watching him very closely.
Yeah.
And the legs just went, and you could see that the fitness wasn't there. And I was watching him thinking, all that's going to happen here is he's going to start dropping back and he's going to defend. And that's exactly what happened, right?
Yeah.
Because he just didn't have the legs. And then what we saw is
he started winning headers in his own box, didn't he? And you're like, ooh.
And he was on the pitch to defend by that point. And what we then saw is that it was up to the likes of Son and Gedson Fernandez and Lo Celso, who'd come on by then, to do the
I like him, by the
passing.
Way.
Yeah. Do you think he's dead as a player? Or
Giovanni Lo Celso is absolutely alive as a player. Right. I think he could be a very good player for you next season.
Great. I'm glad you think somebody is. So they were up top. So I watched it very carefully. And so I then was sort of looking at my fantasy team and I was thinking, do I want a player? God, it really hurt. Do I want a player that's got 50 minutes up top and then going to stay on the pitch?
Plus, he's expensive in FPL. Do you know what I mean? It's not like he's a 7 million, 8 million striker.
No, he's 10.8. So he's going to cost me a lot of money.
Yeah.
And that was my fear. So I was looking at that team thinking, I just don't know. And then I looked at Son, who I thought had a really average game. Really average.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, I don't really want you either.
It was those mid-price midfielders that really came to the fore. Because I am feeling okay. But I actually thought Lamella had a good game.
Christ.
I had a good game.
What has happened to you?
No, it's well documented, my love for Lamella, or lack of. But actually, don't get me wrong, he reminds me of Dirk Kuyt, actually. For those Liverpool fans that can think back to the Dirk Kuyt era, he's all work ethic, he's all, getting in amongst it, and he'll do it, but he's guff in his final ball. Like Lamella, his decision-making is terrible, but you cannot knock him for his work rate and his persistence and the trying to win the ball. He's very tenacious, and I thought he played well. Obviously, Bergwijn played very well, and Lo Celso came on and did well. So it is all about that mid-price bracket. However, I'm surprised. My surprise at this is you seem to, because you're going into your lockdown team, had Dele Alli in it. Now, we haven't seen Dele Alli. He's going to come back, obviously, in the next game, you'd expect.
Oh, yeah.
You seem okay to just be overlooking him? No, I'm not.
Okay. I'm not at all overlooking Dele Alli. I think Dele Alli is you all know how I feel about Dele Alli. I think he's absolutely class. And I think that he will have a massive point to prove, because it was a really interesting interview. I won't go into the detail on it, but it was a really interesting interview with Mourinho about Dele Alli and about, how there's a lot of people that have done a hell of a lot of worse things over this lockdown that have not been given a ban. And I think Dele Alli will come back with a point to prove. And I think he could be a really nice FPL asset. But my budget is really tight.
Yeah.
And
is he worth the extra over Bergwijn?
To get from Bergwijn back up to Dele is a lot.
Yeah.
So
okay.
That's why Bergwijn's there now.
So Bergwijn's
put my phone down in the stress of dealing with you and Harry Kane. So
well, just as you're bringing your phone back in, Steve Wynyard, thank you for the super chat. He's saying Kane is the most expensive CDM in the game. It's starting to feel a bit
Steven.
Like that. It's never mind starting to feel a bit like that. He's been like that for some time, in my opinion.
Right, let's move on.
Let's move on from Spurs. So, who else have you got?
So I've got... I obviously brought Fernandes straight back in again. And
so then, doubling up on United, Fernandes and Rashford.
Yeah.
Okay, nice.
I'm all aboard the United train, and
I like the sound of that.
I'm all aboard the Wolves train with Doherty and Jimenez. Now, I would ideally like another Wolves player, but I'm kind of still a bit undecided on Traore. And obviously, if I have Traore, that means that my fifth midfield spot, which is currently Harvey Barnes...
A few people questioning that in the live chat, by the way, Sam. Barnes over Saar? Barnes over Traore, people are saying?
So
is Barnes one that might change?
Barnes is a placeholder, really, for this game week only, because I really want to bring in a Chelsea player, but I don't really want to bring in a Chelsea player ahead of the Man City game.
Right, okay.
So my thinking was that Barnes would become a Chelsea player, depending, and I'd have two games to decide which Chelsea
player. And the Leicester fixture is home to Brighton next week?
Yeah, okay. So they've got a home game, which now they've only drawn their first game. They do need to win that game. So I kind of feel like I would want a Leicester player for that game.
Okay.
I've actually got two in this draft, because I've also got Soyuncu.
Yeah, talk to me about Soyuncu then. So obviously you could go up a bit and have Chilwell after his absolutely fantastic goal the other day. Or as the guys in the live chat are saying, young Justin actually played pretty well at full back, and he's a lot, well, significantly cheaper than Soyuncu if you wanted to save some money.
Yeah, which is an option, and that's the other thing that I'm looking at, is that ideally Harvey Barnes was strategically there for Mount. Now, this was obviously before I watched the Chelsea game today.
Yeah.
Having watched the Chelsea game today, I'd rather have Pulisic over Mount, which means that I then need to find a bit more money.
Yeah.
So the likes of Soyuncu down to Justin does look like it might be on. The thing that I'm kind of conscious of here is that I am creating a team which is very heavy up top, which is why I've still got Nketiah, because obviously I've got to bench somebody in those front eight. One of them's got to be benched every week, so I've kind of just decided Nketiah is basically the sacrificial lamb and he's sort on the bench, but he could yet become Jordan Ayew to sit on the bench every week. This week, I mean, at the moment I'm benching Lascelles, which seems ridiculous against Aston Villa, but
I don't know who to drop. Your choice between Salah and Mane, you're going Salah right now.
No, well, I was going Salah, but now I'm really unsure about what to do about that. This is going to go to the wire, this one, the decision between Salah and Mane, because obviously Salah also is a bit more expensive than Mane. So I could save myself a little bit by downgrading Salah to Mane, which would then give me a little bit more budget if I'm looking to upgrade Harvey Barnes to Pulisic from 32.
Yes.
But I'm very comfortable with the rest of that attacking lineup. So I think having KDB, Bergwijn, and Fernandes alongside Rashford and Jimenez up top, that just has goals screamed all over it. I'm really pleased that I managed to get Doherty back in there, because that was something that was key for me. Keeping Trent, obviously, so important, because I've got so much value tied up in him and he is absolute class. That, going back to my keeper where I was starting, Pope I just put in there as a placeholder last night. I don't think it's going to be Pope unless I see something world class from him tomorrow, which I don't think I will. There are other options there. The Newcastle keeper, Dubravka, maybe is a good option.
Didn't fancy the Wolves double up with Patricio in there?
Well, that's the other possibility, but he is a little bit more expensive again, so then that's taking a bit more budget, and I'm trying to free up budget. Okay. So, I mean, and the other factor here is that obviously my plan was to just set and forget Henderson for the rest of the season from 32 onwards. So I only really need a keeper for one game week, and then they'll probably go out and be replaced by bench fodder.
Okay. There's a lot of guys in the live chat saying that there's a lot of call in Manchester United right now for Greenwood to become more of an option. Instead of Daniel James, actually, some of the guys in the live chat are saying. So what about, although you'd have then Rashford and Fernandes and Greenwood as well, what about dropping Nketiah for Greenwood in your wild card? What do you think about that?
Maybe.
It's kind of a bit of one of those decisions, isn't it? Your third striker spot, your cheap striker spot, that's probably going to come way down the line. Not one that you're going to be spending a lot of time thinking about. But of the two...
Maybe. Do you know one thing I really hate? And this is one of the things I feel like you're in a position with at the moment, is that when you go for three from one club, if you then get a player who suddenly does really well,
you've
got a problem. So for you, you really want Jimenez, but because you've got Patricio, Doherty and Jota already, you can't easily make that swap. So for me, if I've got Rashford and Fernandes, and then I take the third Man United spot with Greenwood, if then Pogba or somebody else, or Maguire, say, at the back, becomes this really important asset, I've got two transfers to get there. Whereas if I go with Ayew or Nketiah, they're mostly going to sit on the bench anyway. They're not doing any harm, because I don't want any other Palace or Arsenal, probably. Mm. So it feels safer somehow.
Mm. I've just realised I can do a Bamiyang down to either Rashford or Vardy.
Right.
That would give me the money to do the Jota to Jimenez transfer.
Well, that's a no-brainer.
That's going to cost me -4, though. That's the challenge. But I could do that.
So do one this week.
That's how I would get to Jimenez. Because of all my team, he's the one I'm most concerned not having.
Yeah, and I can understand that. But, I mean, there's nothing wrong with your team for next week. So you could easily keep it as it is for this week. Roll the transfer and then do that transfer next week and have Jimenez for the rest of the season.
Quite possibly. So there we go. That is your wild card. Stay tuned, to NFL Family over on Twitter and Instagram. Particularly on Instagram, where you are, because you'll be giving, obviously, wild card draft updates, I suppose, over the next sort of few hours before we get into it again on Tuesday night.
Listen tomorrow.
So that is it, guys. Thank you for joining us tonight on FPL Family. It's been a an interesting one, because of course we did the watch along at the beginning there, which seems a long time ago now. Hopefully you enjoyed that. I mean, that's something that if we get the opportunity to do again, and there's a bit of a clash with the end of one of the games, then we might do that again. I thought that kind of helped us get in the mood, actually, although I would have liked a last minute winner from Liverpool, but nevertheless.
I don't think I could cope with a watch along Spurs, though.
A watch along Spurs, yeah. You're a bit more emotional than I am when
I'm
watching
really
football.
I'm really emotional,
yeah.
And I think I'd just swear and be like, you'd have to beat me out all the time.
I definitely can't swear on it. Anyway, guys, thank you very much for joining us.
We've got a busy week this week.
Well done if you did well in game week 30, because of plenty of good scores going on there in the live chat. We have got a very busy week this week. We've got a podcast tomorrow.
Yes, I'm recording the official
podcast tomorrow with Kelly or James. I guess James probably, yes.
Yeah, with James and Sam Parkin and Jack Lang.
Very good. And then I've got the FPL show is going to be back on Tuesday. So don't forget to catch that on YouTube. If you're not watching, if you're not subscribed to the Premier League's YouTube channel, the intent is for that show to be streamed live.
This one will go live
on YouTube. And the one that you were on Friday, they had a bit of a technical issue in the background that meant it didn't stream on YouTube. But you can, of course, go and watch
the
replay of that show. But the one on Tuesday that I will be on, of course, with Jules and James, and with Gianni, I think, will go live out on YouTube. So head over to the Premier League's YouTube channel after this. Go subscribe and watch me and Gianni talk about Game Week 31.
You'll see me again
tomorrow
on the FPL show on Friday.
And you're on Friday. What
talk
a week.
About Game Week 32.
What a week.
We'll also be back on the Scouts YouTube channel later on in the week with another Q&A. So keep an eye out for that on the Scout Twitter if you want to ask us a question there.
More FPL family than you can shake a stick at. But it's good to be back, isn't it?
Well, it's great to be
We've
back.
Actually had a weekend of watching football and I've bloody loved it.
And also, don't forget to hit the deadline. I know you lot won't, but we might.
5 o'clock
busy.
Tuesday, isn't it?
5 o'clock Tuesday.
5 o'clock Tuesday. That is a weird time because people will just be finishing work and stuff. So 5 o'clock Tuesday, guys. My suggestion is have a look at your team now. Go and do it first thing in the morning.
Unless
or get
you're
wild carded
and
get
then just panic. Panic all the way.
Yeah, absolutely. There we go, guys. So thank you for joining us tonight. If you enjoyed the show, leave us a like, as I know many of you will do. Loads of likes on the last video.
Aww,
let's beat the amount of likes we got in the last video.
And one last thing, thank you for voting for us in the content awards. There was a lot of
last minute votes
on that. So fingers crossed now, that's all we can
voting
do.
Voting is closed for the FCA's guys. Do. So thank you for those that voted. Yeah, absolutely. But leave us a like before you go. Hit that subscribe button if you haven't already. And make sure you hit the little notify bell so you know that we're on, because we're going to be on every single Sunday, 8 p.m. or 8:30 p.m. I should say now.
Don't
we've got this new schedule with the teams playing late on a Sunday. So guys, thank you for joining us. Leave us a like and we will see you next Sunday. Cheers.
Bye, guys.